Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you were with us last week, you know we've been talking about fasting and preparing for the new year with fasting and prayer. And I would like to encourage each one of you to take it upon yourself to commit to some kind of a fast and prayer session. And maybe it's just a one-day fast or even a one-meal fast. If you've never fasted before, just set aside one meal and spend some time on your knees, spend some time in the Word, just crying out to the Lord, praying for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren. And I think you will be blessed if you do that. And for those of you who have fasted before and are more mature in your faith, I encourage you to commit to a fast, and I think you will be blessed by it. I know you will be blessed by it. And if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and we're looking at verse 14, which is our foundation verse for this teaching on fasting. And we looked at this last week, and I want to take it up again today, and then we'll go into some other scripture in Matthew. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." And so Jesus is saying that when the disciples were with him, he likened it to a Jewish wedding. When the disciples were with him, he said the bridegroom is with his friends, and so they are in a celebratory mood. They are in a mood of celebration. But he said when the bridegroom is taken away, then that will be the time for his disciples and for everyone else to reach him by fasting. And so I just thank you for that scripture, because it gives us an indication of what Jesus wants us to do to reach him. It gives us an indication of what Jesus expects of us to reach him. And I just want to encourage you again, if you've never fasted, I encourage you to do that. It's a way of reaching intimacy or gaining intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's a way to acknowledge Jesus that you are seeking him in a greater measure. It's a way to acknowledge that you want to have a greater relationship, a more intimate relationship with him. And he has given us the tool here. He's given us the method. It's not necessarily about methodology, but there is a way. And that way is to deny the flesh, and then your spirit comes into greater focus. Your spirit body comes into greater focus, your spiritual body. And so you nourish that spiritual body with your intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You nourish that spiritual body with your communication and your communion with Jesus Christ. Well, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were many situations, many occurrences where people fasted, and even for as much as 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days in Deuteronomy 10:10 when he went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And Joshua fasted 40 days when he was with Moses in Exodus 24. They both went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And also there is a situation where Esther fasted, and she was crying out for the preservation of her people, the Jewish people. And so she fasted in the fourth chapter of Esther. She fasted for 3 days and three nights, no food, no water. And so all through the Old Testament, you see situations arise, and you see circumstances where the children of God know that they must come in to close communion, to a close union with the Lord. And so they reach that place of close union and that place of intimacy. They reach it by fasting. Well, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, if you have your Bible there, turn it to the fourth chapter of Matthew, and we're going to take a look at a classic example of fasting for ministry. And this is by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who set the example for us. He was preparing himself for ministry. This was after he had been baptized in the Jordan River, and he is preparing himself for ministry. And he prepares himself by fasting 40 days, and he knows that he is going to receive a temptation by the devil. He knows that he is going to have a face-off with the ruler of this world, and yet he prepares himself by fasting and getting into close communion with his Father God. Well, in Matthew 4, verse 2, it says, "And when he had fasted 40 days, when Jesus had gone up into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, he was afterwards hungry." And verse 3, "Then the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread.' And Jesus answered him and said, 'It is written, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And so the devil came and tempted him, and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, I know you are hungry. I know you have physical needs. I know you desire to eat," and anybody would be hungry at that point. Anybody would have a desire to eat. If you fast for more than just a few hours, you're going to go through a stage of where you're very hungry. But eventually, if you continue your fast, you'll reach a place where the hunger pangs kind of go away, and then you'll be up there in that spiritual world. You'll be up there in a place where you won't have hunger pangs for a while. And so I would encourage you to try that. Maybe if you've been a mature believer, I would encourage you to try possibly a 3-day fast or a 7-day fast, or even if you wanted to go for a 40-day fast. I believe the Lord would strengthen you and encourage you and sustain you in a fast like that. But the devil is going to come to you, and he's going to tempt you in making you believe that the provision, the everyday provision for your flesh, that God can't provide that. And so the devil comes and he says, "You're hungry. The Lord can't provide that food. He can't sustain you. The Lord can't provide drink for you. He can't sustain you." And so the devil always, nearly always, when he first comes to us, he tempts us through the desires of the flesh, through these fleshly desires that we have, the everyday needs that we have here on this earth. And everybody gets hungry. 12 o'clock comes. We all want to go race to the place to eat. And the devil is always there to tempt us. I believe there's a gluttony situation here in America that's a direct result of the famine for the Word of God here. People turn to food and people turn to gluttony because they're desperate, they're aching and empty inside, and they're desperate to have something to fill that void inside of them, and so they turn to the easiest thing there is to fill that void, and that's usually food or drink, or a sexual appetite, sexual promiscuity. And so the devil came to Jesus and tempted him in this way. And he said to Jesus, "Take that stone over there and turn it into bread, because I know, Jesus, that you're hungry." And so the temptation to Jesus was to use his power to supply his daily needs, and the devil would help him to supply those daily needs. Well, we run that same temptation. We have that same temptation. We tend to get nervous about our bills. We get nervous about our financial situations many times. And if a lot of money could help people have peace of mind, why, there would never be any rich people that commit suicide or have any anxiety. But we know that's not true, that the devil continually tempts us and makes us believe that God is not going to supply all of our needs. And the Lord says that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so you have to trust the Lord that he is going to supply your needs. You have to trust the Lord that he will be there when you need something. And that is just part of the Christian walk. Whether you have a good job, a lot of money, or whatever, you need to trust the Lord that he will be supplying all of your needs, that he will be sufficient for you, and you don't need to turn to the devil and to ways of cheating and lying and stealing and extortion and other ways to extract money from people. You just trust the Lord. You go about your business honestly. You go about your work with diligence and with care, and do your work as you are working unto the Lord. Well, Jesus said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I believe that is true, brother and sister. I've found that to be true. I start every day in my life with the Word of God. I start by reading the Word of God. If I can't get to it first thing, I get to it at some time during the day, and I think that would be good for everyone out there. Start your day by reading the Word of God, or maybe finish your day by reading the Word of God. But get that Word implanted in your heart. Get that Word hidden in your heart so that you will have it with you, that you can carry it with you, that no matter what situation or circumstance may arise in your life, you will have that Word, and you can feast on that Word. You can chew on that Word. You can meditate on that Word, and that Word will sustain you in every situation. Well, the second way that the devil tempted Jesus, in verse 5, it says the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you would dash your foot against a stone." Well, that's a quotation from Psalm 91. The devil knew the scripture, and the devil still knows it. He will quote scripture to you. Sometimes you'll hear people misquoting scripture or twisting scripture, and that's just the demons. That's just the devil. And the devil is very good at trying to convince you that scripture means what it doesn't mean, and that it is can be contorted and twisted for your own selfish purposes. And Jesus answered the devil in verse 7. He says, "It is written, you shall not tempt or put to the test the Lord thy God." And so Jesus was saying, we are not to tempt God. We're not to put God in situations where we ask God to bail us out of our own lack of common sense or our own walk with the Lord. In other words, we're not to put God in a corner, or attempt to put God in a corner where he has to come rescue us from situations that we have gotten into on our own by our disregard for God's word, or our lack of common sense, or our lack of listening to the Holy Spirit when he tries to give us direction in our life. Sometimes God is just going to let you take your lumps. There may be times when God miraculously will intervene in your life that may come in different situations, but you can't depend on that. You have to. It's okay to pray for miracles. Ask God for miraculous intervention in your life, but you cannot build your life around that. You cannot depend on that. It's best to just be diligent and stay in your prayer closet. Stay on your knees in prayer and ask the Lord for everything that you need, and be diligent in your work. Be diligent in your study. And as you do that, you don't put God in a corner. You don't push him into the corner where he has to make some kind of a miraculous rescue of you in the situation that you're in. And Jesus was just saying to the devil, do not tempt the Lord your God. And God is saying to you today, brother and sister, that don't put me into a place where you test me. Don't put me into a place where you tempt me to see if I can rescue you from your stupidity, or to see if I can rescue you from your walk of life where you have disregarded my counsel, where you've disregarded the Holy Spirit, where you've disregarded my wisdom. And if you will just abide by the Lord on a daily basis, if you will walk with the Lord on a daily basis and continue to seek him in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will guide you, you will not get into situations where you have to have the Lord God rescue you. You will not get into situations where you will be striking your foot against a stone all the time. Yes, there's times when we stumble. Yes, there's times when we fail. Yes, there's times when we fall down, and God will be there to pick you up. But don't continually ask the Lord to bail you out of situations where you know you are not in the will of God, where you know you're disregarding his word, and where you know that you're going to be tempting God and putting him in a situation where he has to have a miraculous rescue of the place where you were in. Well, the third thing that the devil did with Jesus when Jesus was fasting, and it says in verse 8, Matthew 4, then the devil took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to Jesus, "All these things I will give unto you if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said unto him, "Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. Well, this is a temptation where the devil says all of these kingdoms, all of these systems of the world, all of the influence, the organizations, the financial systems of the world, the devil says, I own them all. They are mine. And in several scriptures throughout the New Testament, the devil is called the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says in verse 4, the god of this world has blinded the minds of them that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so Paul says that the god of this world is Satan. Paul also says in Ephesians 6:12 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we know that the devil is the prince of this world, that he is the one who is in control. And so if you are in the kingdom of light, if you have received the light of Jesus Christ, you're going to be in opposition to the devil and to the rulers of this world. But Jesus said that he would not bow down. He would not take that temptation. He didn't want to submit his power and his authority to the devil. And so that is an example for us as well, brothers and sisters. We are not to submit our power that the Lord God, Jehovah God, has given us, and our walk with Jesus Christ, our kingdom walk. We are not to submit that to the ruler of this world. You're not to be in this world. You're not making friends with the world. You're to minister to the world. So you could say we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so Jesus said, I'm not going to take your temptation, devil. I'm not going to bow down to you, even though you're the ruler of this world. We're going to, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to stand with Jesus. And we're not going to bow down to the ruler of this world. We're not going to involve ourselves in the systems of this world. And so I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to stand with Jesus and to say with him, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and you shall serve him only. Well, you cannot serve mammon, which is the world system. You cannot serve mammon. Yes, you have to have money to pay your bills. You have to have money to pay your workers and your health insurance or whatever it is. You need money to pay for the things that you need in your life, but we are not to worship money. And you cannot, the Bible says, you cannot worship mammon and the kingdom of God at the same time. In Matthew 6:24, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they spin, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I'm going to leave that as the closing scripture today. As you think about your intimacy, your walk with the Lord, can you trust the Lord to supply your needs? Can you trust the Lord without giving in to the temptations of the devil to lie, to cheat, to do things that you know are not of God's will? Can you trust the Lord to provide your every need, just as he provided Jesus' needs when the devil came to tempt him? And I believe, brothers and sisters, if you'll spend some time in prayer and fasting, if you'll spend some time just thanking the Lord for all that He has given you. Be thankful for what you have. Give the Lord thanks and give Him a heart of gratitude, your heart of praise and your heart of gratitude for what He has given you. And if you will do that, God will show you over and over that He is sufficient to meet all of your needs. He will show you over and over that He is loving God, that He cares about every detail of your life. He cares about your children. He cares about your grandchildren. And He will show you beyond a shadow of doubt that He can supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ's glory. Well, I thank you for listening today. I pray that you turn to Jesus. If you fast and pray, you'll have to turn to Jesus. You'll have to know that He is there for you, because as you spend time and deny the desires of the flesh, desire those things of the flesh that normally you would consume your life with and you would pursue on a daily basis, as you deny those things, Jesus will show up and He will give you peace. He will give you the joy. He will give the satisfaction of knowing that He is there for you, that He is not going to let you strike your foot against a stone, and that the deadly pestilence will not come near your tent. He will supply your daily needs. And as Jesus shows Himself mighty to do these things, it will give you peace, it will give you joy, it will give you an understanding of your relationship with Him, that God really does care about you. He really loves you, and He wants you to be His child. He wants you to know Him in an intimate way. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that today. I invite you to get down on your knees and just say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust who you are. I believe your word. I believe the promises in your word. And I just thank you for loving me, for caring for me. I turn my life over to you. I accept you for who you are as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I want to turn from my sinful way and my wicked ways. If you will do that today, Jesus will be more than sufficient for all of your needs. He will be more than sufficient to supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.